Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, saints. Thank you for tuning in to the Word of God through Jesus Christ Street and Outreach Broadcast. My name is Apostle Allen E. Coleman, Jr. And as the Lord lead, we're going to have a blessed show. And this is one of those sudden things, you know. Some of you prophets and prophetesses understand, as well as some of my brother apostles, you understand what God says. All right, get on your post. It's something I want to pass off, something I want to share, something I want to say, something I want to discuss and reveal. This is one of those times. This lesson just all of a sudden came up. As usual, there's nothing written down. The Lord just put a rhema in my spirit and is going to use me to also go into the Logos to point it out, to confirm that it is the Lord. This word is to encourage those of the prophetic anointing. You, brother prophet, you, sister prophetess, this word is to encourage you. It's really to encourage you. And hopefully, I believe, praise God, it's going to be confirmation to some things that he has revealed to those of the prophetic anointing. I'm sorry, brother or sister evangelist. You can get a crumb or two out of here, too, but this is definitely for those of the prophetic anointing. I'm sorry, brother pastor, brother bishop. It might be a little above your head. You might say, what in the world is going on? But that's all right, because this is for those of the prophetic anointing. Brother teacher, sister teacher, I'm sure that the Lord will be using you to follow in the scripture with a Berean attitude to make sure that this is lined up. I ask that you pray my strength in the Lord. And again, to my brother apostles, you're already there, I'm sure. And the Lord will encourage you also through this as he blesses you to walk with the prophet, to keep them steady. The teacher steadies the prophet. Before we do anything, let's go into a quick word of prayer. Sisters of the prophetic anointing, I ask that you cover your head so that we may go before the Lord in order, according to 1 Corinthians 11. And if you say, well, I don't have to cover my head, I got on hair. Okay, well, that's what you know. That's what you know. But that's not what 1 Corinthians 11 says. Okay, ready? Here we go. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you first and foremost asking for forgiveness before we even approach your throne, before we even open up our lips and talk to you. We ask that you forgive us for any and every sin that we have committed, that we know about and that we don't know about. Father, we ask that you purge us and cleanse us and wash us, anoint us, make us usable and use us. Fill us all with the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. Give us a spiritual understanding of your most precious and holy word. Give us a receiving spirit. Purge our consciences from dead works by the blood of Jesus, as it says in Hebrews 9:14. We ask, Lord, that you just minister to us, answer questions, raise questions, pique our curiosity. We ask in Jesus' name that you pull up a chair, oh God, and sit down and sup with us. Minister to us. We need you in this late night hour. Again, we thank you for gathering us before you, and I ask that you minister to your prophets and your prophetesses. I ask that you encourage the brother apostles. I ask in Jesus' name, oh Lord, that you feed the brother pastors, that you allow them to be sheep for a minute while you be the shepherd and feed them. I ask, oh Lord, that you charge up the evangelists and give them a desire to go out in that dying world and to rake in souls to the kingdom of God. I ask, Lord, that you anoint the teachers with a double anointing, the brother and sister teachers. Just anoint them, oh God. Give them a new approach, a new vision. Allow them to be used by you to cut up your food in squares or in a different way and to feed it unto your people. We thank you for hearing us and for answering us. Please make this lesson deep yet simple, and simple yet deep. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for hearing us and for answering us, and we ask that you strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. We're going to be coming out of the book of Daniel, and we're going to briefly touch the book of Ephesians. But right now, turn to Daniel chapter 10. And while you're doing that, as is the custom, I'm going to allow God to use me to read the description of the lesson. The fivefold ministry. All five of the offices have different functions. What determines the office are the spiritual gifts given unto the soldier that is placed by God in the office. The prophet and the prophetess are powerful officers with the ability and the strength to speak what God gives them and to bring it to pass. God is never wrong, and neither are his prophets and prophetesses when they follow him. It's easy to prophesy, and God leads his prophets and prophetesses to prophesy. The prophet is someone who goes to God on behalf of the people as a priest and then goes to the people from God as a prophet or prophetess. This is what Satan doesn't want you to know about the office of the prophet and the prophetess. Grab your Bibles and let's begin our journey of study concerning God's truth about his prophets and prophetesses. I am led to warn you expressly, though, this information will differ from your denomination and from your opinions of God's order, but the information has always been listed in the Holy Bible, which is God's bestseller. This is part one of the teaching series called God's Mighty Spiritual Avengers. I'd like to ask you to turn to Daniel chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 1 through 21. And the King James Version, it says, in the third year of Cyrus Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision, My sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this, my Lord, talk with this, my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Lord, excuse me, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will shew thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Now I'd like to ask you to jump over to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to be verses 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The thought that God gave me is called, your fight has to be in the spirit realm to change the things around you. The title is, if you're not dressed for the battle, then what's the holdup? And this is part 22. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for gathering us again before you. Lord, you do the teaching. Allow me to decrease that you may increase. And while you're feeding everyone else, please feed me too. Let me not be undone. In Jesus' name, we rebuke the devil and we plead the blood against him and we expose him. And Lord, use this time according to your will and slow the clock down. In Jesus' name, we thank you, we pray. Amen. This is part one of the teaching series called God's Mighty Spiritual Avengers. It is very important to understand the prophetic office. Every office in the fivefold ministry has different functions, and the functions that are involved or upon or engaged in all five of the office determine what God has called a person to be. For instance, a person can call themselves an evangelist, but if they are sitting down, that is not a spiritual gift that God gives to the evangelist. What he gives to the evangelist are the shoes of readiness to go spread the gospel. You know, it's a blessing when the evangelist is on the scene because they will win a soul. They will convince a person to give their life to the Lord. There is no way that a seasoned evangelist will walk away and the person that God sent them to will still be lost. That is not evangelism. That's pure laziness. That's failure. But an evangelist always goes. An evangelist is like a nomad. They travel. They're always on the go. It's hard to contain the anointing of the evangelist. They don't sit down and stay down. So those of you that are sitting on benches Sunday after Sunday, and you say that God has called you into the evangelistic office, if I were you, I would either check that or I would leave that ministry. The office of the prophet and the prophetess is a very, very, very strange office, because those in the prophetic office, they have a very, they all have the same background, just different characteristics about the background. In other words, all prophets and prophetesses are lonely. If you are in the prophetic office and you wonder why you don't have no friends, if you wonder why you were the black sheep of the family, if you wonder why you were the outcast, if you wonder why people don't even like talking to you, if you wonder why people say you might be crazy or bugging out or lost your mind, it is because the prophetic office is an office that deals with revelation and that deals with vision. Thank you, Lord. See, the prophetic office, in the prophetic office, your visions come from God. Your revelation comes from God. You hear in the spirit realm, you have to get the discernment, so therefore you hear the word of God, the rhema, the spoken word of God for that moment and that time. And when you relay what God tells you to relay, a lot of times people don't want to talk to you. Why? Because every prophetic word is not congratulations. Every prophetic word is not a pat on the back. Brother pastors, I really encourage you to listen to this part right here, because some of you, God have sent the prophet and the prophetess in the ministry that you're over, and God sent them there because God wants to speak to the ministry. If you are not loosing them, if you are not allowing them to be used by God to speak, then what you're doing is you are suppressing their anointing. And here's what God will do. He will let you get away with that for a little while, but after God has finished telling the prophet and the prophetess what to speak, then God will remove them out of the ministry, and then you get what you get. It is hard to deal with God once God is upset and angry and he is displaying his wrath. It is hard. It is very hard to deal with God then. As a matter of fact, Scripture says in the book of Hebrews, I'm turning there right now, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, I believe it is. Lord, forgive me if I'm wrong, but I'm trusting you and believing you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, thank you, Lord, it says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. When God sends the prophet or the prophetess to the ministry, it's important to, even listen, brother pastor, even if you pull the prophet or prophetess aside and say, tell me what God is telling you, I mean, why did he send you? Did he send you here to congratulate us, or is something out of order? Because, see, if you allow God to use the prophet or the prophetess, then God will use them to speak what God is saying and be in agreement with God. And if the congregation says amen and they agree and they capitulate to what God said to do, then what happens is doom, judgment will not come, and the devil has to leave. But however, if the ministry says, we don't want to hear that, we are straight, we have not sinned, trouble cometh unto that ministry. The last thing you want God to do is to send recording angels to come into the earth realm, to come into the ministry, and to record all that is going on there, and then go back to God with the report. Even though God is omniscient, he already knows what's going on there. He already knows if you're going to change. Prophet and the prophetess sit alone with God. When they are not being used by God to speak, they're quiet. Listen, don't expect a seasoned prophet or prophetess to be so talkative and friendly and touching everything and shaking everybody's hand and letting everybody hug them, because it doesn't go that way. Because the prophetic anointing is it consists of a powerful word, which is consecration. The prophet and the prophetess lives a consecrated life. Daniel fasted 3 full weeks. In chapter 10, verse 3, he said he ate no pleasant bread. He neither came flesh nor wine in his mouth, neither did he anoint himself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. This prophet consecrated himself. God set him apart, and then Daniel denied himself. No pleasant bread, no rich bread, no. He allowed himself to be spiritually prepared for this meeting that he was getting ready to have that he knew nothing about. Let's jump down to chapter 10, but let's jump down to verse 12. This angel, Gabriel, it had to be Gabriel because Gabriel is the messenger angel. There were 3 archangels in heaven. I know the Catholics say 7, but that's error. There was 3 archangels in heaven. There was Lucifer, who protected God's holiness. He was the most powerful angel that there was. Then some people say he's a choir director. No, he wasn't. Look in the scriptures, look in the book of Isaiah, look in the book of Ezekiel. He was not the choir director. He actually was the doxology of God. He was a song. When you looked at Lucifer, you saw how beautiful he was. And you was like, oh my goodness, look at how God created him. That's what you saw. So he brought praise to God just by his very presence. But his position in heaven was to protect God's holiness. He was the anointed cherub that covereth, and in the Hebrew, what that means is his wingspan encased God's throne as a screen does on the screen porch. It is very important to understand that. In order for him to be God's number one enemy, he had to be God's right-hand man. Some of you understand that. The second archangel was Gabriel, who was the messenger angel. He was anointed to deliver messages. Even though the prince of Persia fought him and tried to stop him, he still was going to deliver this message to Daniel because he's anointed to do so. The blessing is when God tells you to go and you go. There's a blessing in that. When God says stop and you stop, there's a blessing in that. When God says hear and you receive, there's a blessing in that. When God says be careful and you walk lightly, there's a blessing in that. Thank you, Jesus. When God said be quiet and you hush, there's a blessing in that. When God says speak and you speak, there's a blessing in that. Gabriel was anointed to bring this message, and it was going to go. Why? Because he was given strict orders by God. Michael, on the other hand, was the other archangel, and he was the angel that was the captain of God's heavenly army. He was the one that if there was muscle needed, if there was some fighting needing to go on, Michael was the prince. He was that angel that was used by God to fight. This is why in verse 13, when Gabriel said, in verse 12, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Some of you prophets and prophetesses have been interceding for someone, have been praying for someone, have been standing for someone, and you've been wondering, why isn't God moving yet? But the truth is, God has already moved. The moment God heard you pray according to his will, 1 John 5:14-15, the moment God heard you praying according to his will, God answered your prayer. The angel was sent. The answer was sent. As Gabriel was coming into the earth realm to bring this answer to Daniel, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, or the territorial demon that sat over Persia, that ruling demon that was guarding Persia to make sure that oppression and all other kind of wickedness was going on, sat over that region. And as this demon saw the elect angel Gabriel coming, there began to be a fight. There was a cataclysmic confrontation between these angelic beings. Now, it's important that you understand something, that whenever you you're praying about something, the reason things get rougher in the earth realm is because as the blessing is coming through the spirit realm into the earth realm, there are demons that are blocking the answer from coming. And if you are not aware of this, if you are not learned in spiritual things and in spiritual warfare, you will give up the fight and just say, oh, well, God is not hearing me. Maybe it's not his will. Once the devil gets you to doubt something and doubt God and doubt his word, the fight is lost already. What pushes the hand of God is your faith. He that comes to God must first believe that he is. Now faith is the substance of things hope for, and the proof you have it is because you don't see what you're hoping for. It is very important to exercise your faith. Brother, sister, prophet, do not lose your faith. Don't give up your faith. Whatever God got you standing for and praying for, if God told you that it's coming, you need to wait on it because it is coming. God is not a God that lies. He doesn't lie. He doesn't lie. He doesn't change. He doesn't change his mind. Some people say, well, in him is yea, yea, and nay, nay. No, the Bible doesn't say that. It says in him is yea, and the amen spoken by us to the glory of God. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So we have to agree with God. This is why God came into the earth realm so he could stand on earth while he was also sitting in heaven because he's omnipresent, and he agreed with himself. That's why Jesus said, if you don't believe that the Father sent me, look at the works I do. It's not me doing it, but it's the Father that's in me. Listen, brother prophet, sister prophetess. The moment that the Lord began to use you to consecrate yourself, the moment that God used you to stand on behalf of those that he got you standing for, the angel was sent with the answer. God is getting ready to raise up that person that he sent you to the hospital to lay hands on. The one that he led you to go lay hands on, watch God move. Don't take the credit. Don't, when the people walk up to you and say, oh my goodness, you prayed a powerful prayer, don't you dare say thank you, because then you'll be doing like Moses did. You will take God's glory and God's credit. Don't do it. Never take God's credit. Never do that. Enemy will cause you to do that. If he can't stop the blessing from happening, then he will stop you from being humble. You need to erase the word my out of your vocabulary. You need to erase the word I out of your vocabulary. Huh? You need to erase the word mine out of your vocabulary, because it's not your ministry. Those are not your people. The preaching didn't come from you. The praying didn't come from you. You didn't do the miracle. God did. He just used you as a vessel in the earth realm. It is important to know that. Gabriel said, verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. While it seems like God is not hearing and time is going by, spiritual time is different than natural time. A day is as 1,000 years with God, and 1,000 years is as a day. So while we're in the earth realm and we are standing here praying for stuff, and it seems like God is not hearing, it seems like it's taking so long, week is going by, months are going by, maybe a year is going by. It's not that God didn't hear it, it's that there may be a cataclysmic confrontation above the clouds on behalf of what you're praying for. Oh, you just got to stand strong and don't let the devil throw you off. Because while the angel and the demon is above the clouds fighting, the devil has spiritual wickedness in high places coming into the earth realm, the foot soldiers that are coming into the earth realm and that are causing doubt, that are causing disbelief, that are causing discouragement. The 13 deadly deeds of the devil, dullness, discouragement. Some people even get depressed because the devil is messing with their mind to cause them to not be able to understand the things of God, blinding their minds to the truth. It is very important to understand, my brethren, that God hears you. He hears you. He's called you. He's chosen you even before you came into the earth realm. Listen, when the devil saw you coming into the earth realm, being born, coming out of your mother's womb, you know what he said? he said, there goes a prophet. There goes a prophetess. I got to stop them. I got to hinder them. This is why some of you have had a very rough life. This is why some of you face the things that you face, because the enemy was trying his hardest to discourage you and take you out before you could even accomplish the mission that God gave you. Before you could even go out, the enemy tried to throw you. He tried to make you handicapped. He tried to tarnish your reputation. He tried to make you hate men, women, so therefore you would turn to another woman and live an abominable lifestyle. He tried to make you hate women and not trust them, men, so that that way you would turn to another big, hairy, gruesome-looking man and live an abominable lifestyle. There is nothing natural about that. Now look at what the devil is doing. The devil is mocking marriage. He has inspired the government. Yes, I said it. He inspired the government to come forth and to promote same-sex marriages. If any of you have been watching those debates, have you noticed that not one has stood up for the gospel? Not one politician has stood up and said, I'm on God's side. Not one. And yet and still they want your vote. Vote for God. Vote for God. He is the president. He is the senator. He is the governor. Become a person who follows theocracy and not bureaucracy. Yes, I said it in the name of Jesus. Stand for God. Stand for God. Stand for God. Don't let the devil rob you of your position in God. Don't let the devil scare you and throw you off your post. Oh, don't do it, because the devil, he cannot win. Don't y'all know, listen, brother prophet, sister prophetess, don't you know that the only reason the devil has not been able to destroy things like he want to is because the church is still here. The body of Christ is still in the earth realm. Long as we're in the world, don't know this, but long as we're in the earth realm, the devil is limited on what he can do, because God is not going to let the enemy hurt us. We are the what? The salt of the earth. We give it flavor, and the enemy knows this. He knows it. That's why those in the fivefold ministry, the devil is intimidated by the anointing on your life when God placed you in it. Listen, the only way he can mess you up is to make you get into the wrong office, or to make you leave God, or to make you put the Bible down and go on what you think, go on what you feel, go on the paper that you earn. Some people that have earned their doctrines or bought their doctrines have not been called by God into the office of teacher. Yet and still in the earth realm, they give you whatever you pay for. Money is the love of money is the root of all evil. There's been many plans that have been put together, many lives that have been lost, all because of money. Many family members that have fallen apart and fell out, and families that have been disarmed and disfellowshipped because of the love of money. It's important to understand this. It's important to understand this. If you're not dressed for the battle, then what's the holdup? Get dressed for the battle. In Ephesians 6, God tells you what to do. He tells you what to wear. Brother Paul was led by God and said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not yours. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You cannot stand against the wiles or the schemes or the tricks or the plans or the plots of the devil if you don't have on the armor of God. Why? Because Satan, he'll send a messenger to buffet your flesh. And buffet in the Greek means to strike your flesh with the fist. He will. He will. Some of us are going through sicknesses. Why? Because there's been a messenger of Satan sent to buffet our flesh. Some ministers say, when Paul said that his thorn in the flesh was a spiritual thing. No, it wasn't. It was a natural thing. He said it, thorn in the flesh. He didn't say the spirit. And if you look in the Greek, in the original language, you'll see it. What was his problem? He had eye problems. When he had that encounter with Jesus Christ and that heavenly vision blinded him, when the fish scales fell off, the brother couldn't see good. He had a problem with his eyesight. He even said to the brethren, if you could gouge out your own eyes and give them to me, I know that you would. He even talked one time about how he wrote a letter and wrote in big letters. He said, look at this. I wrote this in my own hand. Look at these big letters I wrote, because he had a problem seeing. His flesh was buffeted. Let's not let the enemy quit God. Brother prophet, sister prophetess, stay encouraged. I'm sent by God to tell you, stay encouraged. Don't give up the mission. Don't stop praying. Don't abort the mission. You are part of God's mighty spiritual army of avengers. There's a fivefold ministry, that higher glory that the Lord has sent out in the earth realm to keep going the work that he did, that he started, that he pioneered. Don't let the enemy throw you off. The only reason he's attacked you is because he's intimidated by your anointing. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you, ask you to forgive us for our sins. Thank you for the time of fellowship and gathering, and allow your word to remain in our heart, that we meditate on it, and even for the rest of the night, that we chew on what you said to us. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we pray, amen. Well, you know what I'm going to say. You can call the ministry, 203-745-8162, and I'll join with you in prayer. We can fight the devil together. I have no problem with that, in Jesus' name. And if the Lord allows you to share a love offering with the ministry, which I'm sure he will if you listen to him, then right on my wall, on the description of this lesson, you'll see the link that says to share a love offering. You click on that link and go to the ministry's website. You click on a tab that says your donations and support of the ministry, and let God use you. Any amount of the love offering will be a blessing, because it goes to ministry work. Come on, don't close your hand. Don't be stingy. Don't be stingy. And I'm not chasing no dollar, and I'm not bamboozling nobody, and I'm not going to force you. The Lord said don't beg, and I'm not going to do that. But the invitation is open. Let God use you in Jesus' name, that we might team up and partner together. I love you. In Jesus' name, again, 203-745-8162, 24 hours. And until the next time with part two, God bless you and stay encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen.